Hi, welcome everybody. It's a really big schuss to be here, to come speak to you a little bit about Shavuos. You know, if you're like me, you're asking, like, what are we doing here already? You know, it's nice, we have our Yomim Tovim, all the time we have our Yomim Tovim, and they're wonderful. We see family together, we trade recipes, we make a tumult, we get dressed up in nice clothing. But you know, if you're like me, you're starting to think a little bit, what are we doing? You know, what are we doing over here? What's the difference between this one and the one before? Between Sukkot and Pesach and Shavuos and Shmini Atzeres or Shoshana Yom Kippur? And sometimes it's easier to distinguish. It's easier to distinguish because, you know, we didn't have to clean up the house. We didn't have to go build a sukkah. I mean, also sukkahs comes with the added stress of having had three other yontifs beforehand. So it's more like the yontif decathlon, triathlon. We had Rosh Hashanah. It was 2 days of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And then moving into sukkahs, you put in for all those days off. It feels like we just had Pesach, and now we're here. And there wasn't any one specific thing we had to do. Maybe look for dairy or dairy recipes. There's no specific mitzvah of Shavuos, which gives us more time to think about what is this? What's this all about? What's this all really about? So, it could be the best place to look to try to figure out, you know, how do we understand this holiday, is to look at the tefillah, look at davening, to look at the davening and say, okay, how do we attach to Shavuos? Let's say we made our cheesecake, maybe you stayed up and learned a little bit, maybe you didn't, maybe you went and you heard Aseres HaDibros in shul. How do we connect? How do we attach? So if we said Shmon Esrei, we'll say it for four Shmon Esreis over the course of Yontif. We'll say it four times. We'll say, V'yaseinu Hashem Elokeinu Berkas Moedecha, Hashem, please give us the blessing of your Yontif. Give us the blessing of your Yontif. You know, like, what is it that we're supposed to do? What is it that we're asking for? Not only that, Birkas Moedecha L'chaim U'L'shalom. So we ask for the bracha, the chayim, the shalom, the simchul, the sasun, kasher, asisa, v'amarta l'vracheinu, for life and for peace, for sasun and simcha, for rejoicing, celebration. Like you said, you bench us. So we're asking for this bracha, Kadosh Baruch Hu. We're asking for a bracha of Shavuos. It's each one that it's unique bracha. What exactly is this bracha that we're asking for? What's the bracha that we're looking for of Shavuos? So if you think back, in on Yontif, in school, the first exercise the first thing that we learned about all the different Yontifs that we learned together, that we learned in school, was of course, what are the names of the Chag? It's not Stam, names of the Chag, what we call the Chag. As I'm sure you all know, the words that we use for something are very powerful. They communicate the meaning, how we refer to different things. It's very, very important. You know, there's a Sefer B'nei Sascha by one of the great Rebbes, Tzvi Elimelech of Dinov, that devotes a chapter every time there's a Yontif to the different names that we call the holidays. The names have significance. So, we know the Torah calls Chag HaShavuos, because it comes at the end of the weeks of counting, of course. And Yom HaBikurim, the day of the first fruits. The Mishnah calls it Atzeres, meaning it's a time when you don't work, meaning the time that we all get together. Now, of course, what we call Matbeas HaTefillah, how Anshe Knesset Gedola, maybe earlier back, how they refer to the Yontif is Chag Matan Torasenu, the holiday of the celebration of the giving of the Torah. The giving of the Torah. What is it exactly that we're looking for? And how can we experience it in our lives? You know, how can we experience this, the bracha of this Yontif? How can we attach to it? How can we be uplifted by its unique atmosphere? How can we be uplifted and touched by what we call Kedushas Hayom, by what makes this day special? So, I guess in this year we're going to try to answer this question. There are many famous midrashim, famous concepts. Every time that we talk about just about anything, there are certain famous things that we remember because it's probably part of the curriculum in schools. It's in the Rashis sometimes. It's the things that the teachers all teach. They probably heard it from their teachers all the way back. There are certain midrashim that are incredibly popular. The Zohar says that everything depends on mazel, even the Sefer Torah and the Heichal. It tells us that, you know, there are certain concepts that become very, very popular, and they become ingrained in our culture. Certain very, very common midrashim that we hear all the time. So there's one specific midrash I'd like to quote, and you probably have heard it before, and I'd like to really try to mine it and to examine and to try to understand what exactly this midrash is telling us. Because when we think about it, every time that there's a midrash that's telling us something about the nature of these Yamim Tovim, that there's something being passed over us, they're yesodos, they're foundations in constructing our worldview, in constructing how we experience Yom Tov, that they're trying to impart to us. And each one of these teachings that we've heard before, that we hear, we sort of take it at face value because we heard it when we were very young, and we store it away, and we don't endeavor to mine it, to dig deeply into it, to try to understand what's being given, the spiritual gifts that are being imparted by each teaching. So there's a Gemara in Pesachim. It's a famous Gemara in Pesachim. It's a Gemara in Pesachim that you might have heard. So the Gemara in Pesachim says, 68b, Rav Yosef on the Yom of Atzeres Amar, Avdi li Agla Tlosa, make me a threefold cow. Amar Ilo Hayoma, the Kagarim Kama Yosef Ikebashruka. If it wasn't for this day, right, if it wasn't for this day, if it wasn't for Yontif, this Yontif that we're experiencing, how many Yassis would there be? How many Yosefs would there be in the Shuk? How many Yosefs would there be in the Shuk? So, we on face value, we take it and we say, okay, how many Yosefs there would have been in the Shuk? Yeah, he's celebrating because he got to be Rav Yosef. He wasn't just some Joe in the shuk. But I think when we understand in a much more penetrating way, much deeper way, we understand that something fundamental changed in how he saw himself, in his life, how it made everything different. How this Yom Tov, this day, was a day that changed everything. He gave him a new identity. And it wouldn't have been the same without the Torah. We all have moments like this in our lives, where we have days, where they call it in English, an epiphany. Days that all of a sudden, everything lines up. Everything sort of opens my mind. And these are crucial, crucial days for the construction of a person's personality. These are crucial, crucial moments. So Rav Yosef had this moment, and it was called Chag HaShavuos. And he celebrated it by making a fancy schmancy cow. making a fancy schmancy dinner. He celebrated it because this day was something special. This day made something special out of me. And I believe a little bit of trying to understand what the bracha of Yom Tov that we're asking for in Shemoneh Esrei is to experience it like Rav Yosef, to experience it that this is epic, to experience it as life-changing. What we're asking for is that we want to experience our Matan Torah, our experience of Matan Torah, of Kabbalah Satorah, to be a day which is life-changing and different. How can we do that? You know, Shavuos is, to us, is just part of a cycle. We know it comes after Pesach, and we know it's going to. We have 3 weeks. We should celebrate them in the happy configuration. But after the 3 weeks, we'll come to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and then we'll be back at Sukkot, and then Chanukah Purim, and we'll be back once again in Pesach. And it goes around and around and around, and we all know, as you get older, it seems to move faster and faster and faster. So how can we experience this day with the energy that Rav Yosef did? We said, that's quick, let's make a very fancy schmancy meal. Why? Because if it wasn't for this day, how many Yosefs would there be in a shuk? How many shiras would there be out there? If it wasn't for this day, my life would have been totally different. And therefore, I have to celebrate today as a day that changed everything. I want to be able to feel that. So let's hear a little bit from Rav Soloveitchik. Let's hear how he connected to Torah, the Kabbalah Satorah. There's nobody wrote as eloquently, as passionately, as meaningfully, I believe, as the Rav, as he discussed his relationship with the Torah. He said, "I remember that when I was growing up as a frightened and lonely boy, I was afraid of the world. For me, the world was a cold and strange place. I imagined everyone was mocking me. But I had one friend, do not laugh at me. It was the Rambam. How did we become friends? Simply we met. Maimonides was a constant guest in our home. When father was a newlywed, supported by my grandfather, the Gaon Eliyahu Feinstein of Persiana, father studied night and day. A small group of outstanding young scholars gathered around him and eagerly absorbed his teachings. My father studied with his disciples in a room where my bed was located. My want was to sit on my bed, listen to my father's words. He constantly quoted Maimonides. His method was to open the Talmud and analyze the text under discussion and the relevant commentaries. He would generally say, these are the explanations of the Ri and the other authors of Tosfos. Now let us analyze the explanations of the Rambam, of Maimonides. My father would inevitably discover that Maimonides rejected the basic explanation of the text and differed with Tosafot. My father would declare as to complain that we cannot comprehend the approach and conclusion of Maimonides towards the Talmudic text. It is almost as if my father were saying directly to the Maimonides, Rabbeinu Moshe, why have you taken this approach? My father would continue, at first glance, the Ravid is correct in his criticism of the Mishneh Torah. The students would jump forward, and each would express his thoughts. My father would listen carefully, but would refute their proposed interpretations. Once he would exclaim, the words of Maimonides are incomprehensible. Nevertheless, my father would not give up. He would place his head on his hand, and soon be engrossed in deep thought. The students would not disturb his thought process. Finally, my father would gradually lift his head, and begin to expound on the true meaning of Maimonides. Sometimes he would be lengthy, and other occasions brief. I would strain my ears to catch my father's every word. In my young and impressionable mind, there developed a dual impression. First, that the Rambam was being attacked by enemies who wanted to hurt him. And second, the Rambam's only defender was my father. I felt strongly that without my father, who knows what would happen to the Rambam. Is this the Rambam? We're here with us in the room, listening to my father's words. The Rambam sat next to me on my bed. What did he look like? I don't know exactly. He seemed to look like an exceedingly handsome and good father. His name was also Moshe, just like my father. Intensely following my father, the students absorbed his every word. Slowly but surely, the tension evaporated. My father continued his discourse with strength and courage. New ideas were clarified, the halachot under discussion were clarified, classified, and carefully articulated. A new light emerged. The questions were resolved, the topic properly explained. Maimonides emerged triumphant, and my father's face was filled with happiness and delight. He defended his friend, Rabbeinu Moshe ben Maimon. The Rambam was comforted and smiled. I, too, was delighted and joined in the feeling of joy in the room. I would jump from my bed and run to my mother and cry out the good news. Mother! Mother, the Rambam won! He beat the Ravid. Father helped him! Look how wonderful my father is! But every once in a while, my father did not succeed. And despite all of his efforts, the enemies of the Rambam defeated him. Their questions were as strong as iron. Although my father mustered his strength, he could not save the Rambam from his detractors. Salvation did not come for the Rambam. Deep in thought, my father would lean his head on the palms of his hands on the table. The students and I, even the Rambam, waited in great tension for my father's words. But my father would raise his head and sadly state, "There's no answer for the words of the Rambam. They are difficult. No one is capable of resolving these questions." The shiur ended with no explanation. The students were sad. Even my father was depressed. There was a sense of despair descended upon all of us. I cried. Even the eyes of the Rambam glistened with teardrops. With a broken heart, I would slowly go to my mother and cry out to her, "Mother, Father cannot answer the Rambam. What will we do? He did not succeed today." And my mother would tell me, "Don't worry. Father will find an answer to the Rambam. If he does not succeed, then when you grow up, perhaps you will find an answer. But remember, my son, the important thing about Torah is to study in happiness and enthusiasm." It is true that this story is part of my youth. It is not the fantasy of a young child or the creation of mystical feelings. The story is an historic and psychological reality that guides me at all times. When I sit down to learn, the giants of Masorah are with me. Our relationship is personal. The Rambam sits to my right and Rabbeinu Tam to my left. Rashi sits to the head and explains. Rabbeinu Tam asks. The Rambam decides the Lach and the Raya that objects. All of them are with me in my small room, sitting around the table. They look at me with fondness. They work out the text with me, and like a father, they encourage and strengthen me. Learning Torah is not just a didactic, formal, and technical experience, whose purpose is creation and exchange of ideas. Learning Torah is the intense experience of uniting many generations together, the joining of spirit to spirit, and the connection of soul to soul. Those who transmit the Torah, those who receive the Torah, are invited to meet one another at the same historic juncture. Wow. Right? Wow.
Wow.
What's he talking about? The Rav was describing to us the experience when he would sit down to learn. He was describing to us and bringing us into his inner world what it was like to sit and learn. To sit and learn in the room with him. To sit there. To sit there and to discuss, to talk with giants of the previous generations. To be in a relationship with the Torah. It's not the only time that he used this description. He really believed in this experience. He really described this experience of how he interacted with the Torah. The Rav discussed how, in fact, he cheats old age. He cheats death. He becomes a young man once again as he sits learning with his Talmidim and introducing them to the masters of generations. Soloveitchik wanted to show us how it was have a celebration like Rav Yosef. Have a celebration of, if not for this day, I wouldn't be the same person. If not for this day, everything would have been different. We have a gift, the Torah, which unites us with generations, that we interact with the generations, that we interact with them, we talk with them, we discuss, we dispute, we fight, we resolve, we struggle. This is what the Torah is. This is what the Torah is. This is the bracha that we're looking for, and this is the bracha that we most definitely are seeking, we most definitely need. How can we enter into this? How can we enter into this bracha? How can we enter into this celebration, which is here on Chag HaShavuos? How do we do this? This is what we're davening for. How can we try to concretize this? Another place, Soloveitchik Shiori Harav, page 182, the Rav explains, the Torah should not be an intellectual pastime. True, one can enjoy the intellectual creativity involved in Talmud Torah, but Talmud Torah should be an emotional experience as well. One should feel a tremor when engaged in it. The Torah should not be seen as just a book, but as a living personality, a queen like Shabbos Malkuta, with whom I can establish an I and you relationship. In many places, the Torah is referred to personally. So the Midrash said, the Torah said before the Holy One, blessed be He. The study of Torah should be a dialogue, not a monologue. If I look at the Gemara as simply paper and print, as merely a text, I would never be creative. Torah is our friend. The Pasuk in Mishlei says, say to wisdom, you are my sister. If the Gemara is approached as a plain text, you might master it, but you cannot be creative. To become a lamdan, someone who can learn, you must look at the Torah as an individual living personality, and then it becomes a part of you. You feel committed, I feel committed, the Rav said, to defend the Rambam. Torah becomes a delight. It inspires you. There's a feeling of joy at having something precious, at having a treasure. Just as there's no Shabbos or Yom Kippur without preparing a question, so too, this is true concerning Talmud Torah. To become a lamdan, a learned person, requires consistency, inquisitiveness, and curiosity. If I love someone, I'm inquisitive as to who they are and what are their plans. If I were asked how an emotional experience can be had through studying the laws for instance, the monetary fines and damages, I would say the exterior of the Torah can be formal and abstract, but behind the shell of conceptual abstractions, there's a great fire burning, giving warmth and love. One can love the Torah with a great passion. When you apprehend the Torah as a personality, not just a book, it infiltrates your emotional as well as your intellectual life. An ignoramus, someone who's ignorant of Torah, cannot have this experience, and you cannot be a learned person without it. We need to become emotionally invested in the Torah, emotionally invested in what it has to say. And if it's not doing so, we need to delve deeper. We need to speak to our mentors. We need to speak to the people who represent Torah, or find mentors who represent Torah, who can make the Torah talk to us, who can help us find the meaning in the Torah that is talking to us, that is conversing with us. This is our first step in the path of becoming emotionally invested, in bringing down the bracha of Rav Yosef, of how today is the day that changed everything, and therefore I have to make a big suda, of the Birkas Hasienu, of Hashem give me the bracha of Chag HaShavuos. The Zohar refers to it as L'chapsa B'ginzaya Shel Malka, to go and look in the storehouses, the treasure houses of the king. A child who wants to know their parents' business, wants to understand the family business, so there's nothing that gives the parents more nachas. All of us, our family business is the Torah. Besides everything else we do, that person who's an investment banker, to the other one who's a lawyer, to the third who's a doctor, and that your child shows interest in your profession, that's such nachas. But the Torah is everyone's family business, because it's for everybody. The Zohar refers to it as the prince who's looking, who wants to see what's in the secret chambers of the king. He wants to be part of the family business because it interests him. He's curious about the life of his father, about the life of the family. He's curious about what this is. He's curious. He wants to know. He's emotionally invested. To approach Torah as that, as this is in our family. Some people are married to have Sfarim from their grandparents, from their great-grandparents, Sfarim from the countries they were here before America, or from previous generations, hand-me-downs, heirlooms. We want to know what's in them. We want to be part of them. Then my grandmother's Siddur, my grandmother's Chumash, my grandfather's Shas. Another story about this concept is told by a boy named Shimshon, very much an American kid, and he enjoyed a special close relationship with Lubavitcher Rebbe before he became a Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he introduced his friend and his friend's son to the Rebbe, who greeted them and asked them to please take a seat. The Rebbe briefly gave the boy the bracha should become a source of pride to the Jewish people, and as he turned to leave, the Rebbe turned to him and said, "Are you a baseball fan?" And the Bar Mitzvah boy said that he was. Which team are you a fan of, the Yankees or the Dodgers? The boy said the Dodgers. Does your father like the Dodgers as much as you do? He said no. Does he take you out to games? The son replied, "Every once in a while, my father takes me to a game. We were at a game a month ago." "How was it?" the rabbi asked. "It was disappointing," the 13-year-old confessed. By the sixth inning, the Dodgers were losing 9-2, so he decided to leave. The rabbi asked him an interesting question. "Did the players also leave the game when you left?" The boy responded, "Rabbi, the players can't leave in the middle of the game." "Why not?" asked the rabbi. "Explain to me how this works." The boy explained, "There are two types of people at the game. There are players, and there are fans. The fans can leave whenever they like. They're not part of the game, and the game couldn't continue after they leave. The players need to stay there and try to win until the game is over." And the Rebbe smiled and said, "Well, that's what I want to tell you about Yiddishkeit, about Judaism as well. You can either be a fan or a player. I want to bless you that you should always be a player." In this story, the Lubavitcher Rebbe expressed to this boy what the whole of what this bracha is talking about. He wants to give out them the bracha that you should be a player in the game. That the messages of the Torah should be something that we care about deeply, that I'm invested in. I'm invested in understanding. I want to be the son looking into the parents' business affairs. I want the bracha of Rav Yosef, that today is the day that everything became different. Today is the day that all of a sudden my world broadened. And there's no looking backwards. This day, my world inexorably changed. This day changed everything. Similarly, Rav Shagar, Rav Shimon Gershon Rosenberg, explained that we have an interesting experience that we go through over the course of this time period of Sfiras HaOmer. We begin this period, Pesach at Seder night. And there's a peculiar thing about Seder night. Seder night is all about the passage of the story of the Exodus from Egypt, and also by definition, by association, the meaning of our Judaism is given from one generation to the next. It's given from the parents to the children. Here, the son asks, it's Beferish, it's written out clearly in the Mishnah. The son asks here. Here the son asks. And here the father answers. Questions and answers. The whole of Seder night is suffused with all of our feeling of being children at our parents' Seder, at our grandparents' Darim. It's suffused with this feeling. The person who's sitting at the front, ostensibly running the Seder, is drawing on their experience as a child and trying to make that into their experience their experience as a parent and transmit it. And we all receive this entire concept on a Seder night, and we're tasked with it. But what's given to us all at once, it's given to us as a huge undertaking, as our destiny, as our history, as our destiny, as the Torah, the mitzvahs, it's all bound up in the Korban Pesach and the matzah and the four cups. It's all this huge package, and it's given to us. Now, over the next 49 days, it's our mission to break it down and to reassemble it. To break it down, to reassemble it, and make it ours. We're children by the Seder night, wrestling, struggling to understand a tradition which is several times longer than we can ever hope to live. Maybe even more than several. As many times as we can live, that many more times as how we can hope to live. This tradition that went on for a long, long time before us, and we're the next step in it, and it overwhelms us, it's big, we're little children again the Seder night. And we sit there, and we take it, and then we break it down over the next 49 days, and try to own it over the next 49 days. Try to wrestle with it in our head and bring it all together. This is the struggle and the challenge of Seder night. And then the subsequent Sfiras HaOmer is us taking it apart and trying to make it ours. And the understanding that we're going to have to do that again for our children and give it to them. But in order to do that, we need to own it. We need to own it, and over the course of these 49 days, we're trying to break it down and struggle with it and own it and hold it and take it with us until we come to the apex of Shavuos night, where we say it's Chag Matan Torasenu. It's the Yontif which celebrates our Torah. Not just the Torah that we got from previous generations, but the Torah which is ours. The Torah that we feel a part of. The Torah of the Bracha of Rav Yosef. The Torah of V'hasiyenu Hashem Elokeinu Birkas Me'adecha. It's this Torah that we're looking for. It's this Torah that Einenu Tluyos, that our eyes are looking for, that we want to come to own. This is the point of the Yantif, that we want the Bracha of owning our Torah, like the Rav said, to have a curiosity about, there's a statement, I want to know what is its implications, what does it mean to me, how does this jibe, how does this fit together with everything else that I've heard, what about it is difficult, what is contradictory, how do I wrestle with it, how do I own it, how do I own that Torah, how is this the day that changed everything for me? This is the challenge of today. This is the bracha of today. This is the celebration of today. This is what we've been trying to wrap our heads around. This is why I guess that you're here. To struggle with this tradition that we have. To wrestle with it. Because that is our tradition. It's a famous story. That one time what happened is that Rosh Chodesh fell out on a Shabbos, and it was Shabbos during Sfiras HaOmer, so they didn't know what to do, whether they omit or say Av HaRachamim. Right? It's a paragraph which on one hand discusses the Crusades, which occurred during the days of Sfiras HaOmer, and at the same time, on festive Shabbos, it's usually omitted, except for during the weeks of Sfiras HaOmer, because that's when the Crusades and the massacres took place. On Shabbos Rosh Chodesh is an extra measure of Simcha, so they started debating whether or not what to do. And the rabbi, new rabbi of the town, he didn't know what to do. So the gabbai was a smart man, and the gabbai said, okay, we'll see. So they come up to Av HaRachamim, and all of a sudden, The chazan starts Avarachmim, and one side of the room starts screaming, "No, no, no, you're not supposed to say Avarachmim, you stop now." And the other side of the room starts screaming at him, "Yes, you're supposed to say Avarachmim, keep going." And the sides are getting louder and louder, and they're smacking the podiums, they're stomping, they're screaming. And the gabbai turns to the rabbi and said, "Ah, now I remember, this is the custom. This is the custom." So too, it's with our tradition. Our tradition is that we make it ours when we learn from it, when we challenge it, when we think about it, when we're creative about it, when we own it. When we become Rav Yosef and it becomes something totally different, that I can't look at this pasuk again differently for the rest of my life. That I can't listen to that Gemara again because now it's something that has changed my life. And that I struggle with it and I have questions and I have answers and that. You know, even to the point that you can't sleep. The Rav was known sometimes to wake all the students up at 3 in the morning, rouse them all up, bang on all the doors, and say, "Everybody, get up, it's Soloveitcha, go downstairs to Beis Medrash. Go downstairs." Everybody would sit there half asleep in their like bathrobes and pajamas, and he would begin and said, "How could you listen to such stupidity all morning? I explained it totally wrong. This is how it should be explained." And then the Rav would begin to give another hour explanation to why he was wrong this morning for an hour from 3 to 4 in the morning. What, he was obsessed? What, was it because he was so picky? No. It's because he owned it. He owned the Torah. It concerned him. If you own something, something interests you, it keeps you up at night. It makes you wonder. It makes you think when it matters. It makes you think. It makes you think that owning and touching the Torah is something that I can't walk away from because it's something that so enthralls me, that so touches me, that I want to keep going, that I want to keep trying to understand because I care about it. Think about anything that matters to you in your life. If you're concerned about it, you're curious about it, wraps you up in it. And like the Rav said previously, and we have to quest after this feeling. It's not something that you automatically have or don't have. It's something that a person has to try to develop. That relationship, to try to develop that curiosity, to try to work with that and work on that. It doesn't happen all at once. And you seek out shiurim, you seek out mentors, you seek out svarim. But this is the day that lights the fire. This is the day that confers the bracha. This is what we're looking for. This is what we want. May we be zoicha. May we merit that this be the year, like it says by Mashiach, Torah chadasha meiti teitzeh, that I will let out a new Torah. What does it mean, a new Torah? We know that the Rambam tells us that all the Torah is forever. How is it going to have a new Torah? It's going to be like it was new. It's going to be so enthralling and interesting as if you'd never heard it before. And it was the same old thing the entire time. The whole time you thought you knew it all, and all of a sudden, you saw unbelievable new things in it. This is the bracha of Yosef. This is the bracha of Hasinu. May we be zoicha together to hear the new Torah that Mashiach is going to darshan, the new old Torah, the Torah that was always there, and the Torah which will enthrall us and make us curious and make us want to hear more and more and more very, very soon. Thank you so much for listening.